Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hello and welcome to the AEW Match Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Sam Brown. Thank you so much for joining me for this special edition of the show, coming hot off the heels of AEW Grand Slam. And of course, we are coming in with Great Southern Land playing in the background. I thought it would be apropos given the subject today, that we've got a song about Australia going in. You know, the stereotypical thing to do would be to probably play Land Down Under. But we're not stereotypical here on the Match Guide Podcast. We're all about excellence. And my favorite song about Australia, I think probably the best song about Australia, for me at least, is Great Southern Land. And so I thought it would be apropos to put it up front because that's what it's about. It's about AEW's first ever trip to the Great Southern Land. It was an incredible night to start off with. I'll just say that to start off with. And I'm looking forward to talking about it with you guys. Of course, before we get into that, though, this is on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. If you have never tuned in before, if this is the first show of mine that you've tuned in for, typically here on the AEW Match Guide Podcast, I review a match that happened in AEW. It's kind of more a historical look back at that match. We'll look at the start of it, the actual match itself, and then the follow-up afterwards. And we've got plenty of other great shows on the podcast network. I know the Trish and Sarah podcast, who are coming out on Wednesday, will also be spending some in-depth time talking about Grand Slam. I'm sure on One Nation Radio in the next couple of days they will too. Of course, also Keeping It Strong Style, where it talks about New Japan Pro Wrestling, Imp's WWE Adventure, talking about WWE, Wrestle Art with Chris Singh, similar to myself in many ways, and Tunnel Talk, who talk about many different facets of pro wrestling, and we love them very much here. But today, as I said, it's a special Out of Sync episode of the AEW Match Guide Podcast. I wanted to record it while my feelings are still fresh, while my thoughts are unpolluted with other people's takes. I've been on social media a bit, but I haven't listened to any podcasts or any other things about this show. And as I said, I haven't even watched the full broadcast. I've seen some clips, and it's interesting to see how the show sort of came through, and I'll have some sort of reflections on that later on when I'm talking about the show. But I really wanted to speak about the experience of being part of this show, seeing AEW live for the first time. And it was an experience that I shared with many people that were in the arena. Of course, as I said, it's been about 24 hours. It was up in Brisbane. I've since traveled back to Newcastle. I'm at home. I'm pretty tired, to be honest. The adrenaline dump is still there because it was a big night for a lot of people who were there. The crowd gave it their all. They left everything in the arena. And I think that comes through in many ways on the production. For what I've seen in social media, a lot of people giving compliments to the Aussie crowd. And it was an incredible event to be part of, because of how much of a community and communal spirit I felt there. But we're going to be talking about a number of things. So I'm going to talk about, you know, the lead up, the build up. And really, I'm not going to talk about the business and that sort of thing, but I am going to reflect a little bit on what my feelings were and what the feelings of people that I spoke to at the event were. We're going to talk about, you know, my day getting there. I've got a really interesting, to say the least, story about it. Didn't feel interesting as I was doing it. It felt stressful as hell. I nearly missed the whole damn thing. And how I got to the show and was saved by a listener of this podcast, which was incredible. Of course, being at the event, what that was like. And then also, you know, just a little bit about how I'm feeling after it all, having seen the response to it as well. And I've got some questions that I put out there on social media, on the Discord, to check out. But yeah, look, as I said, you know, before we jump in, Social Suplex Podcast Network, subscribe, right? If you enjoy this today, subscribe. It would be awesome if you reviewed it. And if you really want to join the community, we've got a Discord. There'll be a link in the description. On that Discord, we've got threads for all of the shows where you can talk with all of the hosts. And there's also plenty of other threads as well where you can talk about all different parts of wrestling, AEW, WWE, New Japan, all the different parts of Stardom, all the different places where there's wrestling, there's discussion going on about it, and then other parts about life in general as well. But look, let's start talking about Grand Slam. I'm going to take a swig of a drink and then let's get going. Pepsi Max tonight. I had too many beers last night. I don't actually drink that often, but last night I had many beers because it was very hot and I was away from my family. So I was there, you know, off the leash a little bit, not really, but, you know, I was enjoying myself and responsibly having a number of adult beverages. But it caught up with me this morning. I can tell you that my head did not feel great this morning, but let's get into it. Let's start by going back 6 months when this show got announced, which feels like a long time ago. And I kind of wanted to go back there because I think the response to this show is part of the narrative of this show is talking about the build to it and talking about the story of this show and what this show came to mean and be and what it was for AEW and what it was for the fan base here in Australia. You know, like 6 months ago, it first came out that AEW was shopping this show around to various state governments in Australia looking for a stadium to put it in. And we didn't know it was in Brisbane at the time. And I actually, funnily enough, I wrote to my local MP about this. I wrote to the, and I said, you should petition the government because it'd be a great thing for New South Wales to have this AEW show, you know, like WWE did it. They say that they had, you know, I think it was like $80 million or something. They brought like $80 million of it to the Western Australian community. And, you know, this should be New South Wales thing to lose, right? We're the biggest state. It should go to Sydney. They didn't get back to me for a fortnight, and by the time they got back to me, it'd be announced that this was going to Queensland. So off to Queensland we went. I thought it was an odd choice. Most people did. Most Australians called it out. This is a strange choice. Suncorp Stadium, interesting. Brisbane, not the biggest city, not the biggest wrestling scene. And it was proved to be correct. They ended up having to downsize from Suncorp to a arena, Brisbane Entertainment Centre. Also a different location in Brisbane as well. Suncorp's well and truly in the city, whereas the Brisbane Entertainment Centre is well and truly on the outskirts of Brisbane. But nonetheless, I was still very excited for the show, even it being... In fact, I've never been to a stadium show. I do want to go to one, but in many ways, I was excited that it was going to be an arena show because I've heard various things about the noise in stadium shows and how it just dissipates and disappears. And I knew they wouldn't sell out Suncorp. Even best case scenario, I thought they were going to sell maybe 20,000-25,000. Well, that's not true. I kind of hoped they would sell it out, but I would prefer to be in an arena with 13,000 people than a stadium that's half full, even with 25,000 people, because the noise is locked in. And man, there were low ceilings in this place, I can tell you that. And the noise was not locked in. It was bouncing around everywhere. And it was great because it was loud in there. But I think the downgrading of the show is the start of where like the disappointment begins. Because there's definitely, I've got to mention up front, there was mixed feelings, not just for myself, but nearly every person that I spoke to at this event. You know, like when I was there in merch lines, waiting to get a drink, having, you know, sitting, you know, in the arena waiting for action to start and that sort of thing. I was chatting to people because I went up, I was just there by myself. So, you know, I met a few friends from Twitter. Shout outs to all those guys, Daisy, Tani, Joe the Sabo. Man, I've got some shout outs for him for when I tell my story about getting there. Dickie Bird as well. These people who I saw, George, who I met in the merch line, great bloke. Yeah, look, they were, yeah, everyone mentioned this. It felt like AEW didn't really care about this show and that we'd been given a discounted version of what had originally been advertised. And I'm not here to litigate, you know, TV event versus pay-per-view, that sort of stuff. This was never advertised as a TV event originally. Grand Slam has always been a TV event, but it's always been Dynamite Grand Slam or Dynamite and Collision Grand Slam. This was just Grand Slam, and it was meant to be in a stadium. And I don't know, it never felt like this was the way it was meant to go. It felt like they ended up with Collision because that's just how it panned out when they had to downgrade it from a stadium. They certainly didn't build to this like it was a big deal. The only program was the Tony Storm program that was really built to for a long time. A lot of what happened at Grand Slam was in service of what's going to happen at Revolution. Look, I just have to say this up front, right? Like, as I said at the start, this is mostly going to be celebratory about how this went, but that's how I felt. That's how most of the people that were there felt. And you know, there was a negative sense to it. Having said that, everyone was excited to be there by the time we got there. So let's talk about the actual event. I'll talk about getting there, right? Like, so apparently lots of people arrived early. There was a lot of other shows on around it. I would have loved to have catched some, but I've got a family, various stuff in the family, young family. And so to make things easiest on them, because I was going to be away, I had to be away for that. They're not really into wrestling, and my six-year-old daughter would have hated being in that arena. It was way too loud for her. And, you know, wrestling is just not my wife's thing. That's just the way it is. But so I was going to be there by myself. So it was going to be me leaving them. So I only ended up going away for one night, which meant I was flying up on the day, which is okay. Which I didn't realize how risky this was going to be, right? Like, my sample size for flights has been, I went to Melbourne in November. I had no problems getting there and back. And then, you know, I did a domestic flight like maybe 3 years before that and had no problems with that. I didn't realize how much of an absolute shit show domestic aviation has become. And my God, I nearly paid the price for it. So this is what happened. My flight was going to get there at about midday. I even had a little event planned at a pub there. We're going to meet up with a few people and have some drinks and food beforehand. I'm getting pumped for it. I drive to the Newcastle airport. It's about half an hour from where I am, from my house. So I drive there, park my car. I'm walking up to the airport and I see on my phone, flight delayed. I'm like, oh shit, 2 hours. Okay. Well, that's crap. I'm not going to be able to do this event thing. I guess I'm still going to be able to get there. But, you know, heart starts beating a bit faster when you see that sort of thing, because you're like, oh, now my plan's not going right. Maybe, I'm still consoling myself at that point of like, okay, it's going to be fine. I won't get to do this beforehand event, which I was really looking forward to, but you know, I'm going to be able to go there. I'm going to meet these people there and we'll chat there. We'll get to know, you know, we'll get to hang out there at the actual event. I've built in buffers. We'll be fine. About an hour later. So I'm sitting in the airport, reading a book. I actually started watching some of the New Japan New Beginning show as well, because I was like, well, I got time to burn now. Let's just do this. And then I get an email, your flight has been changed. And I look, and Virgin Airlines, Richard Branson, fuck you and fuck the horse you rode in on. God damn it, you nearly made me miss this thing. But no, I was determined not to. So my flight got changed to one that was going to arrive in Brisbane at 10 o'clock. Turns out sometimes they will downgrade. They'll change the plane that you're on. In this case, they changed it from 100 people to 80 people. So 20 people. This was a full flight. And I was not the only person that got kicked. Full flight got done. And this is a secret. I don't know if they were meant to tell me this, but this is what they told me. The people with the cheapest tickets get flicked first. Now, I have the money to get a more expensive ticket, but I chose not to because I'm only going up for one night. I don't need to check in luggage. I can just have some hand luggage. So it's the paws that get the flick first. Virgin Airlines, terrible, terrible policy. That is a horrible customer service experience. I will never be willingly booking a flight with Virgin again. Richard Branson, count your days, buddy. I'm coming at enough. Anyway, I nearly missed it. I was Googling, how long does it take to drive from Newcastle to Brisbane? And I was thinking, if I don't stop, I could get there. Actually, I probably would have got there before collision started if I'd started driving at that point. It's about 7.5 hours. I just mainline, inject the hypodermic needle and pump it full with Monster Energy drink because I'm driving nonstop for 8 hours up to Brisbane. But thankfully, Jetstar, who are an Australian-owned company, Virgin, of course, English-owned company, trying to, the POMs, trying to sabotage me, trying to stop me from getting there. You, Trish, I know you're listening. Imp, I know you're listening. Trying to make sure I couldn't go see AW Live. But an Australian-owned company, maybe not Australian-owned, I don't know, Qantas. Who knows who owns Qantas these days? But Jetstar under Qantas. They had a flight going to the Gold Coast, which is about an hour or so south. And thankfully, by the goodness of this podcast network, my mate Joe the Sabba, I'd talked to him beforehand. He was staying in the Gold Coast with his family. I'd messaged him beforehand, before the day, and just been like, hey, we're going to hang out. If I need to catch you, you know, if you need to catch me on the phone, this is my number. He sent me back his number. I called him. Mate, you're not going to believe what happened. Can you pick me up at the Gold Coast Airport and we drive up together? Shout out to Joe the Sabba. I owe him big time. Without hesitation, he just said, yes, let's do it. He was going anyway. And I was road tripping up with him. Hell yeah. I'll never repay that debt. I would have missed the show if it wasn't for Joe, or I would have been driving. I probably would have crashed my car, let's be honest, if I was trying to get up there before the show started. That would have been a horrible, horrible idea. But Joe the Sabba saved it for me. And I got there, in the VIP entry time frame. I had VIP seats. I figured, if this is, AEW may never come back. This is going to be their first show. It may never come back. Who knows? I'm going to splash for tickets. I had really good tickets and that allowed me to get in early. So got in. I checked out the merch site. The merch was, I put a tweet out actually, that the merch was woefully understocked. They actually had like a good selection of things. I'll compliment them on that. They didn't have everything, but they had a really good selection of things, but they were understocked. By the time I got in probably about 20 minutes or so into after the VIP entry, I think there was like extra special VIPs who got to go in early, who cleared out all the belts at least. I saw a few people on the way home actually who had bought belts and I was very jealous of them. I don't know if I would have, I was in the mood. I'd had so much go wrong. I probably would have just been like, just put on the credit card. Fuck it. We're here. but I bought a few shirts. I bought a Timeless Tony Storm doll, but man, the merch line was insane. I don't know how anyone who was at normal entry would have got anything because they were already selling out of shirts. Like by the time I got to the front of the line, I wasn't even in that late. They'd sold out of Cope. They'd nearly sold out of OC. I had to get an extra large Orange Cassidy shirt rather than a large. Still fits, just a bit baggy. That's okay. They'd sold out of Tony Storm shirts. They'd sold it, very popular, obviously. And there were some others as well. I can't quite remember. I didn't write it down, but, they had good variety, but they were understocked. Did not anticipate the demand, I think. They would have been making money hand over fist, though, because they were not cheap. I spent $180 on what I just said, which is, you know, not cheap. That's not cheap. I was there ready to have a good time. I've saved up my money for this thing. I knew I was going to spend a bit. I was going to splash the cash to have a good time. Cause as I said, like, who knows, they may at that point I was thinking they may never come back again. So I'm going to make the most of this. And you know, it is what it is, but unprecedented demand. The line, I cannot stress, the line was crawling the whole way around the building pretty much by the time I left. It was wild how many people wanted to get their hands on merch. And I don't know what would have been left by the end of the thing. And yeah, they would have made a lot of money off merch at this show. I would say as well, like, just talking to people who were there, it was interesting to hear, like, a lot of the people had been to the WWE show last year, and they were now coming to the AEW show. And, you know, on social media, we so often make this giant deal of, like, this AEW camp and this WWE camp. And, you know, I don't know, maybe this is just a selective thing because there's only, you know, there was 50,000 people went to that Perth show. There was, you know, 12,000 people went to this Brisbane show. I don't know what the crossover is. You know, I didn't go to the WWE show, but a lot of people that I talked to at this one did. And, you know, we think there's these two camps that people are locked into, but in reality, a lot of the time it's just everyone's wrestling fans. You know, the WWE people, the people who went to the WWE show, they've probably got similar hangups that some of us do about WWE. And, you know, some of the people that went to that WWE show have got hang-ups about AEW, but at the end of the day, like, everyone was really friendly, really nice, had really great chats. Everyone had, like, you know, interesting things they're looking forward to. And, you know, everyone was just wrestling fans, and that was cool because, you know, we see all this stuff online and a lot of it seems to be dominated by these faceless trolls who are there for, you know, whatever motive they've got. But the biggest thing they do is so discontent a lot of the time and so discord and try and make things negative. And reality is nothing like that. People were there to have a great time. And it was awesome to be part of that energy. So let's talk about the actual going in. I'm just checking my notes, just seeing that I've covered everything off. Yeah, so, yeah, like, going in to the actual show, it was a really beautiful, it was a great setup. Like, it was a big setup. Someone said the ring, I think I've seen on social media people, like, there's all sorts of weird theories about the ring. I don't know, I didn't notice it was smaller than anything, but, you know, it didn't seem small to me, but it was a big arena, so I don't know, maybe I just expected the ring to look small in a big arena. I'm used to being in tiny rooms when I see these wrestling shows. And to be honest, like, I've only ever been to one WWE house show, so maybe I've never seen one 20x20 ring in my life, and so I just don't realize when it's a 16x16 ring. But, you know, I don't think it affected anything. You know, it was the LED boards. There was a big Jumbotron above. It was really cool. The setup. I had a really great line of sight. I was kind of in the tiered section. On the third level of the tiered section, I was behind, underneath where the hard cams were. So my view was kind of what you would have seen on TV almost, except I was a little bit lower than the cameras. And basically the ring was at eye level for me, which is perfect. Like, I could not have asked for better seats. And yeah, look, as soon as everyone was filing in, as people were filing in, I heard a number of Swerve's house chants, which was cool to hear. Sad he's not on the card, but cool to hear. Like, this is obviously people who are dialed in with what's going on in AEW. It did start with ROH, with five ROH matches, I should say. There was mixed feelings about the ROH matches. Some people, like, I know Dickie Bird, for instance, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but when I chatted to him, he was just like, oh God, they're just stacking this card with filler. For me, I actually liked it. Like, I kind of wanted a bigger show, and I liked that they put them first to kind of give, like, the build-up of a pay-per-view. It almost felt like a New Japan card structure in some ways, in terms of how they had, like, the undercard matches first. You know, first out was Chris Jericho, the Young Lion. No, yeah, like, the first few matches, like the tag matches in ROH, they were kind of like just really playing up to the crowd, because the crowd from the get-go was so into it. You know, like Big Bill was the most over person. I probably should preface this by like massive ROH spoilers. If you're an ROH sicko, and which is, you know, that's a special kind of sicko right there. If you're an ROH sicko, message me, because they're a special kind of sicko, you know. No, like seriously, I'm about to spoil what's probably going to go to air at some future ROH broadcast. So there was a tag match with Bill, the Learning Tree, so Brian Keith, Chris Jericho, Big Bill, and against Bandido and the Outrunners. And the Outrunners came out in like luchador masks. like these pink luchador masks. And at one point, I think it was Truth Magnum did the world's slowest rope walk all the way around. I tried to get a chant started saying, "Please don't die," as he was doing that. didn't quite. The person next to me loved it, but it didn't quite catch on in the arena. But Big Bill, man, talk about getting catched on in the arena. He was one of the most over people there. He almost spoiled the whole match, because every time someone did offense on him, everyone booed. And so when Bandido was doing the big hot tag comeback, people booed him because he hit Big Bill, and everyone wanted Bill. Yeah, that man is so over. And he is an absurd. That is an absurd looking man. He is so tall, like, and so jacked as well. I was ready for the tallness. I wasn't ready for the jackness. I think between, you know, if we're talking for the Tunnel Talk listeners here, coming in, Big Bill and Buddy Murphy, they were probably the most jacked of all of them, of all the wrestlers out there. Powerhouse Hobbs, though, who ran, there was a beatdown at the end of the match, and Powerhouse Hobbs runs in, faces off with Big Bill. That is the widest man I've ever seen. He is a freaking fridge. Like, in a different world, that man would be a rugby prop. There's a parallel universe where that guy is a prop for, like, for a rugby team somewhere. He is so wide and thick. That is, he's not tall. Like, he's not tall. Like, he's only a little bit taller than Chris Jericho, but he is wide. See, here's a man with some girth to him. Going through the card, like, the next one was the Robbie Eagles match. I feel bad because I wanted to like this match more. I love Robbie Eagles. Like, he's one of the guys that I've seen a lot live. I was there the day that he turned on Bullet Club and joined Chaos, which was incredible, 2019, in New Japan show, where they were touring through Sydney. I don't think it was ever even broadcast. It was just like photos of it, but I was there. I think I've still got the video on my phone. Like, incredible. I wanted to love this match so much, because this is like the biggest Australian crowd he has gone in front of, probably. And I don't know, it was good, but it didn't click the way that it wanted to. I think it could have been the pure rules. You know, it was a very technical match. You know, maybe it seemed like the matches, particularly on the early card that kind of got the bigger reactions, were just, they were playing to the crowd more, those tag matches, as I said. But I did love that there was a few things. So there was a Robbie, 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 oi, oi, oi chant. Robbie, 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 oi, 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 you know, play on the Aussie, Aussie, Aussie thing. And there was also, and this happened a few times, I don't know if it came through in the broadcast, but I loved it. So during it, there was people singing, and the whole arena got into it, was "Come on, Robbie, come on, come on." And just repeating that. It's like an adaptation of, there's like a 70s cricket song, which was "Come on, Aussie, come on." It was so cool when that broke out. I love that. Obviously, you know, big heat when Lee cheated to finally get the win. And actually, did he cheat? I don't know. They were out of, I didn't quite understand. Like, I don't know the rules. They were out of rope breaks, but Lee held the rope to get the final pin. So I don't know if that's actually cheating or not in this match type. But anyway, he got, you know, big heat for that. And then there was, you know, a couple of other ROH matches. I won't go into details with every one of them. I would say Athena. Man, she has so much hair. She just has so much hair. It looks incredible, but she's like a cartoon character with how much hair she's got. Her and Alex Windsor, actually, like, I want to shout them out. they had to work so hard in their match. They worked so hard to get the crowd into it. They wanted it to be, I feel like they planned it out and they wanted it to be a big deal, but they had to work really hard to make it that way. But by the end of it, the crowd was into it and the crowd got behind Alex Windsor. She worked so hard to do that. So shout outs to her for that. People weren't immediately on her side. And like, as I said, these were people who were into AEW, but Alex Windsor, obviously she's not an AEW wrestler. They know who Athena is, but they don't know who Alex Windsor is, but she worked so hard and she got the crowd on her side by the end of it. But of course, Athena is a class act, man. That O-face at the end, that move is incredible live. Like the way she moves her body is amazing. I cannot speak, like words fail me in terms of describing it. It seems like it shouldn't be physically possible the way she manipulates her body in the air to get in position to pull that move off. It's a thing of beauty. So yeah, shout outs to those guys. That was probably the best match on the pre-card, on the ROH card. You know, people who follow ROH will find no surprise that Athena is was the highlight of that particular segment of the crowd of the card. Sorry, but let's get to Collision, because man, as soon as Collision hit, the crowd was so loud, so into it. I will say before Collision, actually, Tony Khan came out, and there's been various things I've seen on social media like claiming he did or didn't get booed. Man, he got booed when he first hit. It was loud boos. And I think if you want my theory about that, and I actually got a question about it. So hold on, I'll just pull up, because I got a question on social media about that with someone asking about it. They said, and I'll just pull it up so that I can attribute it to them. Where are we? Where was it? I might have been on Blue Sky, actually. Sorry. Flicking. This is what happens when you've got too many social media things. There we go. Sashin. At Sashin 1111223. Sounds like a bot's account. I don't know. Sashin, if you're listening, shout out. But you've got the kind of nickname that makes me think you're a bot. Why were people booing Tony? I think if I was to look into it, I think the reason people were booing Tony is that there was a sense, as I said, there was a sense with every person I spoke to that Australia had been treated second tier when this event was not an event you should be treating as second tier. This was like, particularly to Revolution, right? Like, this is going to sell, it has sold, and forgive me if I've already said this at the start, this did sell more tickets than Revolution. It has probably got a bigger gate than what Revolution did. It's the first time in the market. And I get, like, there's weirdness with pay-per-view and the timing and stuff like that. Like, when UFC's done cards here, they've done it early in the morning so that it's at nighttime in America. I don't see why you couldn't do that. Like, people would probably still be down for it. But there was a weirdness to how people felt about this. Everyone was excited to be there and happy to be there and in the moment, because, like, so many of us have been looking forward to it since 2019, like I myself, I've been dreaming about this and jealous of everyone else going to shows. Australia is a long way away from the UK and the US. It is a big deal to travel to America. It is a day's trip to travel to America or the UK one way, 2 days when you go there and back. That's a huge thing. And not to mention the money, like the minimum ticket price for a plane ride return to either place is $2,000. That's a lot of money. So not many Australians have seen AEW shows. That's the reality. And this was their first, and it felt like we were getting treated second best. And I think that's why people booed Tony, because they were like, no, we are frustrated about this. We're excited and we are going to give this show everything. We're going to give these wrestlers the best night of their life. And Will Ospreay fucking tweeted that it was the funnest he's had in the ring. And you saw how some of the wrestlers reacted. Like, this Australian crowd gave everything. But there was a portion of a lot of people there. I won't say everyone, but a lot of people there who were pissed off. And that's why Tony got it. He deserved it in some ways. He deserved it a little bit. Thank you for coming, but Don't come here with your dirty shoes, get your mess everywhere, and then think you can walk out without saying sorry. So that's why he got booed. But, you know, whoever said that man isn't a wrestling promoter, because he knew how to turn it around, and he turned it around. We're coming. This isn't the last time we're going to be here. Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah, Tony. We love you, Tony. Thank you. Come back. Please come back. he knew how to turn those boos around. So, you know, shout outs for him. He took his licks. That's something that he's good at. He took his licks. He took his licks. He needed to take them. And he turned the crowd positive. But, you know, once that collision music happened, Saturday, I played it in the arena, actually. It's pretty funny. The crowd was so into it. It was like, I've never been to a wrestling show that was broadcast like that. Maybe my experience isn't as unique as I like to think it is, but it felt like a communal energy just swept through that crowd, and everyone was swept up in it. You know, Ospreay comes out, deafening chants for Ospreay. Omega comes out, everyone goes bang when he pulls the trigger on that thing. People are booing Kyle Fletcher. He was so good, I might add. Like, that guy as a heel, if you can get booed in your home country like that, man, the world is your oyster, my son. The world, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you'll be a heel, my son. Shout out to those who know where that reference comes from. and that tag match, like, that was the thing that everyone was anticipating. So I talked to a lot of people, as I said, I talked to a lot of people there, and everyone was anticipating that match because, you know, like, Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay, they are gods of professional wrestling, and this felt like the gods coming down to bless us, and we were there to worship them, and damn, we worship them. You know, like, there was...
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
I don't know if it came through in the broadcast or not, but there was times during Kenny Omega's offense, not just when he went for the Terminator dive, that the Terminator clap broke out. You know, there was at least two times where the Ospreay chants got so loud that they stopped what was going on in the ring to, like, play up to them. I feel like there's a lot more to dig into in this match. I don't feel like it was the top tier of AEW tag matches. And, you know, like, I was there live, and so I'm talking about the experience. I'm not going to, like, do a match guide episode on these, right? But, like, if I was to place it, the closest equivalent I can think of is the Eddie Kingston and John Moxley against the Bucks match, right? Like, where there's just such a clear face and heel dynamic. The crowd is so into it that they just, like, sweep this match up and elevate it in a way. Some of the moments in it, you know, like, there was the obvious All Japan tag tribute where Ospreay, like, throws himself on Kenny Omega to stop the beatdown that's happening on him when the heels are, like, going after Kenny's stomach and midsection, and Ospreay throws himself. I nearly missed that because everyone was just standing up and chanting and so into it. That finisher, the hidden, what are they calling it? The hidden angel or whatever. I don't know. What are they calling it? The one wing blade. Incredible. Like, the way they pulled that off. So good. I've seen Ospreay and Omega wrestle before, but it was in much bigger multi-man tag matches where they really just hit their signature moves and sort of got out. This match, though, like, this was just wrestling on another level. I've never seen wrestlers move that way. I've never seen, like, such crispness, such fluency. This is in person. Of course, not watching on TV, I have, but it's different in person. And the crowd, yeah, look, it was just, it was something else being in that. It felt, as I said, like it felt like there was a communal wave, and that just, that wave just continued. Harley, Cameron, so damn over. Like every time they had, because they had their graphics go up on the screen at different points, and every time Harley came up on the screen, everyone popped. The crowd was so damn into Harley. And Mercedes was an absolute pro. I've got a shout out though. There was a moment where, so where they had the puppet, and Mercedes throws the puppet, and the crowd starts chanting "You sick fuck" at Mercedes. And I swear I caught Mercedes' corpse just for a second in that moment. But she took Harley. She like helped Harley through that match. You could see like the fluency's not quite there with Harley, but she was just so over and giving it everything. And the crowd was once again like pushing this match, and the near falls were so good. Oh, the near falls were so good. Everyone was ready to explode at the near falls, and Mercedes got booed so hard. And you know, you could see he was just playing up to it. Eddie Guerrero, the Eddie Guerrero tribute spot got booed. People were yelling at her that she wasn't worthy of it. I love that. You know, like normally that Eddie tribute spot gets a pop, but not that night. People were booing it because they were like, no, fuck you, Mercedes. You are not worthy of the Eddie tribute spot. Not here, not tonight. So good. And yeah, moving along, the tag match, Edge, Jay, Mox, and Claudio, you know, like the big thing was the sing-along. Oh, it was, you could kind of sense it coming in that a lot of people mentioned, when I was talking to them before, a lot of people mentioned they were excited to see Cope. You know, like a lot of people, I guess, grew up watching him, and he hasn't been to Australia since his retirement. He hasn't wrestled in Australia since his retirement, which was 2010, 2011. Who cares? Over 10 years ago. This was a crowd that really had an appreciation for him. And yeah, when that song just came up, you'd see the look on his face when the crowd started singing. At first, you see this little look like, oh, this is interesting. And then like what he then the music cuts out and the crowd just keeps going, and he starts to realize what's happening and takes it in and like takes a moment. And you can see like on his face, like how much this means to the crowd and how much the crowd means to him. And it's a beautiful moment. Like you could just live in that moment forever, where he's just seeing the respect and understanding the meaning of it. Like this is special. This is something that hasn't ever happened to me before and may not ever happen again. You know, maybe this becomes like Judas, right? And everyone copies us. I hope it does. It was so fun to be part of. But for that to happen so spontaneously, so beautiful. And then at the end, he like pumps himself up to it. And you can see the crowd love that too. And on the commentary, I just love how they realized what was going on. They didn't speak over it. Like they understood. And then you just hear Nigel go, whoa, did you feel that? And Shivani's like, yeah, mate. Oh, goosebumps. And then I'll say like Moxley, man, I saw him live as Dean Ambrose. I saw him and Seth Rollins have a steel cage match, which for those who like have known me for a long time, that rivalry was my favorite rivalry ever for a long time. That was the reason I got back into wrestling, was Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. I came back for Daniel Bryan in 2014, but I stayed for what Ambrose and Rollins were doing. And seeing them live was incredible. Man, seeing Moxley instead, live, he is a different animal, man. Like, from everyone else, the intensity, the way he carries himself, the intensity that he carries himself with is just different gravy to everyone else. It's like he has like lines of intensity coming off him. His body language, his facial expressions, like the way that he just like holds his body in constant tension and is projecting this aura of danger is different to anyone else that was in that ring. Like, and there was some amazing wrestlers in that ring. Like Okada has gravitas. Will Ospreay just has this like energy, this like energetic energy about him. Kenny Omega's a little bit different again, but John Moxley had this air of danger and a man who will do anything to you and is sitting on a hair trigger constantly to him. Like, as I said, like he has like squiggly cartoon lines coming off him with how intense it was. And it was so cool. I have a new appreciation for that man. And like my appreciation for that man runs deep, but I have a new appreciation for that man now I've seen him live. And, you know, like the match itself was probably the weakest on the card of all of them, but it was still really fun. Like, and, you know, I wanted actual blood. Like, he was a bit bloody on his back, but I wanted a proper gusher in this match. I wanted them to bleed buckets in Brisbane. I bled buckets in Brisbane with you, Mox. Could have said that. But I wanted them to bleed buckets in Brisbane, in a Brisbane brawl. You know, get a proper gusher going. But, you know, the crowd was still into it, very loud throughout. And then I don't think this made the broadcast, but we sung Edge out again as well. He got a standing ovation at the end. All the wrestlers, you know, who like Harley Cameron got a standing ovation as she left. I don't know if they showed that on the broadcast, and that obviously got to her. And then Cope got a standing ovation as he left, and they played his music. And then once again, we sung the chorus for that song by Alter Bridge. Beautiful moments. As I said, there was a moment as well. I'm not sure if this made the broadcast, but Jay White came up afterwards and he had a look on his face. He was, after Edge had taken the pin, White walked up behind him. Edge was on his knees and White had a look on his face like he didn't know what he was going to do. And when he first lifted him up, a lot of people thought he was going to hit the Blade Runner. Like, people stood up because they anticipated, wait, is Jay White about to hit the Blade Runner on Cope here? And he didn't. He held it off his hand, but he just, like, if they pull the trigger on, you know, on a Dynamite coming up or at Revolution, that would be, you know, they could look back on that. And that was like potentially a little seed planted, but people thought, I was wondering as well. I was one of the people that stood up. As I said, I don't know if these things made the broadcast or not, but it looked like they were doing just a little bit. He had a look on his face, right? Like, he had a look in his eye, and you know Jay White, someone who'll pull that trigger. He's done it before. He'll do it again. Let's move on, though. Let's keep going through. Like, Buddy and Okada, this was also really good. I've never seen an Okada match live. Apparently Buddy hurt his ankle in his entrance. I didn't know. I didn't recognize that. I didn't see it. And I didn't notice it throughout. He didn't seem to be, like, he seemed to be selling his leg, but he didn't, like, I just thought it was a good sell job because he was still doing all these moves and the match seemed really fluent. Like, the crowd was really into doing the dog noise for Buddy. I was really into that. Like, that's fun to do. It's fun as hell to do. I'll say the near falls in this match were some of the best in the night. Like, when Buddy kicked out of the Rainmaker, I don't know, is this the first time the Rainmaker's been kicked out of in AEW? I can't remember. Felt like it, at least. It felt huge in the arena. People popped at that. Because I think everyone thought it was just over. Rainmaker gone, done. And he kicked out. Huge that. And then when he got him up for what his, you know, typical finishing maneuvers are, people bought it. People were like, oh gosh, he hit that. And Okada's like 2.99 sell it. So good. Okada is just, he's the guitar player. There's a thing where I play guitar, right? I'm into music. I'm into rock music. There's a thing with guitar solos where there's like the guitar players that play so many notes. Like, that's Will Ospreay. Like, you know, that's an Eddie Van Halen. And then there's the guitar players that play like five notes, but they play the five. And that's a skill in itself. Like, what Eddie Van Halen does is a massive skill. But then there's like the guitar player that plays the five perfect notes. And so often Okada is that. Like, everything is in the subtlety of it and the timing and the way he paces his match and just escalates to these near falls at the end that, you know, as I said, that was some of the best ones of the night. And the crowd obviously was so behind Buddy. We got a lot of, come on, Buddy, come on, come on. And I don't know if that came through on the broadcast, but people were so behind Buddy. Hometown boy had, you know, the Aussie flag on and everything. And, you know, he got a standing ovation at the end as well. I will say the main event, I don't know if it was just me. Maybe it was just me. It felt like the crowd was just like a little bit drained as the main event came up, but was, I think we all made the communal agreement that like, nope, this is the main event. This is the hometown girl. We've got to give it everything. We've got to give every last drop for Tony Storm. And this match again, like, I mean, I don't even know how to analyze it. I was so just caught up in the moment to moment drama. And like, sometimes that is pro wrestling, right? Like, there's a lot going on story wise. It was clear that they were talking to each other. I couldn't hear a word of it at different points. But what mattered was there was some big bumps. Like, Tony dropped Mariah on her head a few times in the German suplexes, and then Tony took some big bumps too. And I tell you what, those hip attacks that Tony does in the corner, they look intense. Like, I don't know how she, makes them safe, right? Like, you know, obviously the head isn't against a turnbuckle, so it's not getting like wedged, but it still seems to be hit with pretty intense force. Ooh, excuse me. That's my Pepsi Max coming back to bite us. She still gets hit with like the side with pretty heavy force. But man, this was just all about the crowning of Toni Storm. Came out in blue. Apparently it was made by her mother as well. She sped that in a post-match thing that I know definitely didn't make. She broke character at the end and did like a speech to the crowd at the end and talked about how her mother had made her outfit and it got Tony's mum chance. And you deserve it chant as well afterwards. But yeah, the false finishes in this were amazing. And the actual finish with a schoolboy caught everyone off guard. No one was expecting it there. It was a schoolboy. I think it was a schoolboy. No one was expecting it. Or maybe a small package. I can't remember. I haven't rewatched it. I was living in the moment, guys. The crowd just exploded because it came out of nowhere, right? Like, came from nowhere. The crowd exploded and was so behind the hometown girl. You know, there was a lot of come on, Tony, come ons. Tony. And I'll say this, Luther, man, as I said, like, there were some parts where it felt like the crowd was just ever so flat. Ever so flat. Mostly during like the Mariah heat sequences, I think people just didn't really know how to react. They were booing a little bit, but Luther was so good at just banging that canvas. And as soon as he started banging, you know, he'd sense, oh, the crowd's not making a lot of noise here. Like, they've gone quiet just for a second, bangs the mat, bang, bang, bang. The crowd immediately starts clapping, getting back into it. He shout outs to Luther. He played his part in making that match great too. And yeah, the hometown girl won in the end, hoisted the belt high. Incredible. Just so exciting to see something like that. Toni Storm has been one of the acquisitions of AEW. Like, you look at the best signings they've ever had. Of course, there's the initial signings, you know, the Elite, Jericho, Moxley. Hard to, like, you can't not go. They're obviously bedrocks of the company. But since then, if you look back and like you look at where things have ended up, you got to think a big one, Bryan Danielson. Punk, of course, is like a controversial one, but you know, well, let's not talk about Punk right now. Like, you know, he's just a big signing. We're talking about signings. Can't not mention him, positive or negative. But then you look at post that. It's really you're either picking between Toni Storm or Swerve Strickland. And both of them were left the WWE without the WWE thinking much of them. Like, it was pretty clear, you know, Tony Swerve was released, right? Like, they fired him. They had him and they fired him. I don't know what they saw. You know, it was a different management then, different ultimate owner. They fired him. Go listen to Big Sis Birthday by Rich Latta and Swerve Strickland. That's a rap song that Swerve put out. Rich Latta produced it. It's got Montese on it. That tells you the story about that, right? Like, they could have had him. They didn't. They fired him. They got rid of him. Tony Storm, you know, like, maybe they did see a big bright future for her, but they sure didn't show it to her. And she thought she was gone from wrestling. She thought she was out. But she signed with AEW, and she may well have been the most important signing in, definitely the most important signing in the women's division's history, potentially in the company's history, beyond the, you know, the initial years, the initial year, the first year of their operations when they signed their initial roster. And she has gone from strength to strength. There's been times where she has carried that division by herself in far from ideal circumstances, working against what seems to be the wishes of the company and what seems to be the will of the company. She continued to work to make that division great. You know, she had great help from the likes of Sheeta, Jamie Hayter, different times, more lately Mariah May, Mercedes Moné obviously turning up changes things. And then, you know, this year, the women's division is arguably the highlight of the company. You know, there's been so many people who've come up into it and are making that division great. And it's now like a destination that, I don't know, if you're a woman, if you're a female wrestler and you looked at the different companies and your options out there, you know, it's not as cut and dry as it once was in terms of like, where would you want to go if you want to be a big deal? And a lot of that is off the back of Toni Storm and the work she's done. And like, the way that she's told this story as well, like, this is a grand sweeping story. You can, you know, like it or not, there's parts of it like that are silly that I don't like necessarily, but to have the ambition to do that and to pull it off as well in the women's division with so much working against you is absolutely admirable. You can't not at least admire the fact that they have had this ambition and they have seen it through. Working on one match a week on Dynamite, you know, one or two matches a week on Collision, but still seeing this through, like, that is so admirable. And she, you know, these women gave it everything in this match and got the main event slot, justified having the main event slot. It wasn't just like handed to them. This was the main event. This was the championship belt on the line for the hometown girl, and the crowd is right behind her. As I said, the crowd was like not burnt out, but they'd expelled a lot of energy, but they were like, no, we are getting behind our hometown girl. This is what it felt like to me, at least, and to others talking to them as well afterwards. No, we're going to get our hometown girl over the line. And she did. And man, I just want to say, like, I talked a lot positive and negative at the start, but like, overall, the experience was incredible. After it, I was meant to go out for drinks with a few people afterwards, but I was just so done. I was so drained because I'd seen something so amazing and just spent all my energy, and it was just a complete adrenaline dump. I wanted to talk about it, but I didn't have the energy necessarily to talk about it. And I apologize to Joe. Joe gave me a lift home. You know, he got me there and he got me back to the hotel that I was staying at. And he had to drive back to the Gold Coast, man. I know he got there safe, but far out. Like, that would have been a long drive. Keeping your eyes open during that drive would not have been easy. But it was such a fun night. Like, so good. Let's get to the questions. And I'm starting to ramble. I've been rambling the whole time, let's face it. But I don't want to waste your time, folks. I've got some questions that came up. So we'll start. I'm on Blue Sky first because that's where Sashin messaged me. Sashin, who looks like a bot. Shout out Sashin if you're there. I also got another question from the Cumbrian one, .bsky.social. If coming back in 12 months or so, what would you do different, and what match would, or big matches would you build towards? Oh, this is something I didn't say earlier that I'd like to say. I was disappointed that there was no Hangman, no Swerve, no OC, no MJF. You know, like, it's funny, I've got this little lanyard from the show, and their faces are all on it. Malakai Black's face is on it there. He certainly wasn't there. I was joking to people, like, if you scratch a little bit, you'll see Ricky Stark's face on this little lanyard. You know, I'd say bring those guys. Like, those guys are particularly Hangman and Swerve and OC. Well, all four of those guys, Hangman, Swerve, OC, MJF, they're very much AEW guys. And this was a crowd that, you know, while there were people who were WWE fans, they were locked in on AEW. And I would bring those guys because they are top AEW guys. They're people that I want to see as an AEW fan because I've become fans of their work in AEW. So, that would be my answer. Build to Swerve versus Hangman again. Build to Swerve versus Hangman or another Kenny Omega Hangman match. I don't want to just list dream matches there, but honestly, those four guys, I would love to see them in action in Australia. Or even just MJF cut a promo, bring him in just to cut promos on every single Australian. every single Australian cliche that he can. I'd love that. Next question from Matt Hustwait at Matty Huss on X. Shout outs to him. He's an Aussie that couldn't make it. Would have loved to see you there, mate. We'll see you there next year. I think he had other stuff that came up, but shout outs to him. So his question was, do you feel that the hot crowd is one that's sustainable and recurring for AEW? Or were they hot for the novelty of it being there for the first time? Keen to get a feel for the level of investment from the punters. So this is hard to say, right? Of course they're going to be hotter for the first time. There's definitely going to be some people who won't go back because they're like, oh, I've checked that off the list. If AEW's product can be hot enough, then they'll probably come back. But a lot of that relies on what's going to happen in the next 9 months or so before they announce their next one. As I said, most people I talked to had a pretty good idea of what was going on in AEW. So I'd say there's at least enough dedicated AEW fans in Australia to fill up another arena. Probably not another state, probably definitely not a stadium. We already saw that even in Melbourne or Sydney. But definitely an arena. I think they would still be hot because it's going to be another year, right? it's going to be another year before we see them. So it's probably still going to be really, really hot. It's not going to be the first time again, but it'll still be a novelty because, you know, part of, I think, the thing in America is they're there, you know, twice a week, every week of the year, traveling around. So there's lots of people in America who have seen them many times now, whereas most people in Australia have only had the chance to see them once. And so it'll still only be the second time and it'll still be a long way away. The level of investment of the punters, as I said, I think there was lots of people there that were dedicated AEW fans just from talking to them. Even just seeing the responses, you know, they knew who Bandido was. They knew who the Outrunners were. They knew, you know, they weren't just there for the big names. They weren't just there for, you know, Adam Copeland. Even though he got a big response, as I said, Australian fans, to be in a fan, this is more a general thing. To be a fan in Australia, you pretty much have to be a hardcore. I would say there's not a lot of casual fans in Australia. That may be changing now that it's on Netflix. But to watch wrestling in Australia, you've got to jump through a lot of hoops. So you've got to be pretty dedicated to start with. And I think particularly, So I think the level of investment is there. They said they'd come back. We'll see what happens. If they're hot as a company, you know, if they continue what seems to be like a trajectory towards hotness, whatever that is, a trajectory towards hotness, they're on a workout plan, taking a Zempic. they're working out there. They're gonna be really hot by next year. I tell you that. if they're hot this time next year and they have an Australian show, it'll probably be really hot. It'll probably be really, really sought after. If, you know, there's a few more stumbles, if we have, you know, a whole raft of backstage fights for some reason or something. Like if it's 2022 all over again, then maybe it'll be different. I don't know. I'll still go. okay, let's move on to the next question. Joe Sabatha Joe, shout outs, mate. Oh man, love it. Do you think the crowd, thank you for getting me there again. I will always owe you one forever now. Do you think that the card would have been different if it was at the original venue at Suncorp? I do think that. I think they probably would have made a bigger deal of the show itself. Probably would have been more of like a proper pay-per-view. I think we would have got those other, like it would have been a bigger roster that made the trip because they would have, you know, let's face it, they would have had more money to pay for things like flights and logistics and stuff. You know, it's expensive to travel to Australia. So every flight ticket, every wrestler that you fly over costs more than, you know, what it costs if they're traveling domestically in America, significantly more. And when you start looking at multiples, everything like costs fly out of like costs blow out very quickly when you are multiplying people. So like, yeah, I think that if they had a stadium show, they would have had more, the gate would have been higher, so they would have had more budget, so they would have had more wrestlers. And we probably would have got guys like Swerve, Hangman, etc. Next question. And I'll see you at the next one, Joe, for sure. Next question. At Hillard Jackson, I found it difficult to commit to heading to a Brisbane from Melbourne for the show when the card took as long as it did to finalize. That being said, do you believe the next show should be a pay-per-view or maybe has a tournament end or some sort of early announcement? I felt like this one, it was pretty clear what the one match was locked in, which was Toni Storm versus Mariah. And that was pretty clear from the start of the advertising when it was Toni Storm that was doing it. But that said, I don't know. I don't think they'll make it a pay-per-view because of the time differences. It seems like they wanted to do this show at a time that was comfortable for Australian viewers, which I'm thankful for, because, you know, when, as I said, the UFC comes here, they do it at early in the morning. It's not as bad as in the UK. I know there was like a UK UFC card that started like 3 a.m. in the morning or some ridiculous hour. So I don't think it'll be a pay-per-view because the timing difference makes it difficult for Americans to see it live. Like the night time for Australians, so 7 o'clock, you know, when you expect a pay-per-view to start is the middle of the night for Americans. So it's just not conducive for selling pay-per-views. But, you know, maybe it's a max special. Would it be a tournament's end or some sort of... I'd love it to be a tournament's end. I'd love more build to it in terms of what you're saying with early announcements. Like, it didn't feel like they really got to the build to this card until maybe 2 weeks ago when they did the Ospreay and Omega thing. I think that was 2 weeks ago, maybe 2.5 weeks ago. It didn't feel like they were really building to this show at all until that. So I definitely want more build, a tournament. Yeah, sign me up. That sounds great. Dave, at DaveBorrow123, what city do you think would be best for them to run when they return next year? Melbourne, ? Melbourne or Sydney is the obvious one. Look, I'd love them to come to Newcastle. Come to Newcastle Entertainment Centre, mate. You know, two hours north of Sydney. It's great. Sydney or Melbourne are the obvious answers. They're the two biggest cities. They've got the two biggest wrestling communities. Melbourne does seem to have, I'd say, like, for people who aren't from Australia, Sydney is the biggest city, right? It has more people. It's kind of like the economic capital of Australia, whereas Melbourne is like the self-declared sporting capital of Australia, but it is kind of like, Melbournians will be absolutely furious that I even gave an asterisk against self-declared sporting capital of Australia. That's just my New South Wales bias showing through. they're kind of like more the cultural city. And they do have like the MCG, the Melbourne Cricket Ground's a bigger sporting arena. They've got, you know, Rod Laver Arena, the tennis, which would be the perfect place. Someone else pointed that out, that Rod Laver Arena would be the perfect place to host something like this, which, you know, I can't help but agree with. I'd like to be Sydney for purely selfish reasons because it's closer to me. But that said, I'd never say no to a trip down to Melbourne. Got family down in Melbourne, friends down in Melbourne. It's a great city to visit. Definitely Sydney or Melbourne, but, you know, come to Newcastle, I'll show you some great cafes. you know, do the whole Eastern, do a tour of Australia, do Collision in Melbourne, Dynamite in Sydney, relaunch Rampage in Newcastle. There we go. That's the thing. I am pretty sure that is everything. I'm just checking that I haven't missed anyone. I apologize if I have. Yep, doesn't look like I've missed anyone. Thank you to everyone who sent through questions. I'll just leave by saying, next time you're at a live wrestling show, take a moment to savor it, to enjoy it. And it was a beautiful experience going, life-affirming. Sometimes wrestling, when you're in like the week-to-week grind of like, I say grind, like it's a job, like it's a hard thing to do. When you're in the week-to-week like back and forth of wrestling discourse, you're like reading about it because you want to read about it because you're into it, but you know, sometimes that can divulge into negativity and not feeling like you're into it. It can be difficult. Like you can sometimes lose the forest from the trees and forget why wrestling is so fun and exciting. But I just could not be more affirmed in my feeling that wrestling is just the most amazing form of live entertainment in the world. It was a beautiful experience. It was like a communal experience of this wave of positivity, this wave of energy that I got to be part of. And I'm so thankful for it. Thank you to everyone who was there, to the friends that I saw there. As I said, shout outs, Joe, Tani, Daisy, Dickie. They're all such Australian names, aren't they? Thank you to everyone who was in the crowd. If you're listening, thanks to everyone who I chatted to. You made the experience such a beautiful experience. And I thought it'd be kind of right to finish by quoting the song Metalingus by Alderbridge. On this day, I see clearly everything has come to life. Better place than the broken dreams. I leave them all behind. On this day, it's so real to me. Everything has come to life. And another chance to chase a dream. Another chance to feel. Another chance to feel alive. This has been the AEW Match Guide podcast. Reviewing Grand Slam, reviewing how I feel about it. It was a beautiful night. It was a wonderful night. I'm so thankful that I got to be part of it. Thank you for listening. I'll see you again in a fortnight's time.
Look at the emotion. Bye. On his face. 100 minutes since returning from that injury at Double or Nothing in May of last year.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.